Holy Father, we come before you this morning as we continue our series on slaying the giants in our lives. Lord, I approach your word this day with fear. I approach it with real trembling, because the things you've already prepared and what you have in mind to share with us today is something very, very serious. Lord, these words that I say today can easily walk against me. There are men and women seated in this place that the enemy can easily minister to and flip the word that they hear. They can easily become my enemies. Well, Lord, I'm just a messenger. And I've got to say, thus saith the Lord. Lord, I pray that these words will be received in the spirit with which it is given. And no one will allow the enemy to misinterpret that which you are saying to us. I'm asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking for the wisdom of the living God to be able to present these words. But last of all, I'm asking that it will never get to a point in this church where we're afraid to tell the truth from the pulpit. And it will never get to a place in this church where we reject the truth, even though it disturbs us. So have your way in this place this morning. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. We continue this morning our series on slaying the giants in your life. So far, we have looked at the giant called procrastination. And last Sunday, we looked at the giant called worry. The giant under consideration this morning is the one called lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. No other passage talks about this subject like the words Jesus uttered in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, if you will turn there with me. Revelation 3, 14 through 21. As a matter of fact, I would like for us to read up to verse number 22. Revelation 3. 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Let's read verse 22 together. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I must confess that it is not everyone that goes to church that come with a hearing ear. The message this morning is not one of those messages that you clap for the preacher. The message this morning is not one of those that you applaud and shake his hand after the service. But the message this morning is one that must be preached, because it is part of the word of the living God. Jesus Christ talked about a church, and he described the church as lukewarm. The church, according to him, was neither cold and neither hot. Now that tells me that to be lukewarm means to be neither hot nor cold in one spiritual attitude towards the things of God. What the Lord rebukes in this passage, unfortunately, is what we find in many, many, many lives of God's people today. That is why we read in the church in Laodicea a very sad story, which is applicable not just to many churches today, but to many people in many churches. The church at Laodicea was once in a very fervent and a very healthy condition. You say, Bishop, how do you know that? Just by comparing scripture with scripture. Because if you read the letter of Paul to the Colossians, you will find out that four different times Paul mentioned about the church in Laodicea. And not one time did Paul utter a word of rebuke in any of his writings, because at that time, they were in a very, very sound spiritual state. But something happened. In the process of time, the church in Laodicea and the people who were members of the church in Laodicea began to degenerate. They began to cool down from their former state of fervency. They became careless. They became lax. They became indifferent to the things of God. So that by the time the Lord sent this letter to them in the book of Revelation, they had become a shadow. Better still, a skeleton of their former self. What he wrote to them back in those days is what is writing to you and I today. Maybe you are here this morning spiritually, you have become a shadow of who you used to be. Maybe you are here today, you have become a skeleton spiritually of who you used to be. Maybe over the years, you have degenerated. You have cooled down from your former state of fervency. You become careless. You become lax. You become indifferent. And if I may borrow the words of the spies that Joshua sent to the promised land, the giant of lukewarmness has reduced you to a grasshopper. To you, the message is sent this morning. And I hope you will give God a hearing and let Him stir you up. I'm going to look at the message under three subheadings. The first thing I'd like to consider is the condition of the lukewarm. So you'll be able to tell whether you are under this condition or not. After looking at the condition of the lukewarm, I will look at the curse on the lukewarm. And then last of all, we will see the cure for the lukewarm. The condition, the curse, and the cure. Let's begin with the first. If you will look at the verse that we just read, you will find something stands out very clearly in the mind of the Lord. In verse 15, you know what the Lord says? I know thy works. Everybody say that. I know thy works. Say it again. I know thy works. The first condition of the lukewarm is that they are standing before man is never they are standing before God. In other words, how man sees them is really not how God sees them. The Lord said, I know your works. In other words, nobody else knows you like I do. The people that come to listen to you Sunday after Sunday that you preach to don't know you, but I know you. The people that sit in your class during Sunday school don't know you, but I know you. The people that you work together with as ushers in the church do not know you, but I know you. The people that say amen to your prayers when you lead them in the prayer meetings don't know you, but I know you. The people that sing together with you in the choir that you conduct as the choir master don't know you, but I know you. I just want to say to you this morning that the Lord knows you. Now, you may try to present yourself to be something else to the people in the church. You may try to present yourself to be somebody else to those around you, but you see, you cannot fool God Almighty. He said, nobody may know you, but I, Jesus, the faithful witness, have witnessed you through and through, and I know exactly who you are. You are a public success, but you are a private failure. I know you. Others may not know you. I live with you. I sleep with you. I wake up with you. I know you through and through. But the sad thing is this. Men think better of you than you really deserve. The impression that men have of you is so exaggerated because you've succeeded at fooling men. But me, Almighty God, you cannot fool. I am the omniscient one. All my body is full of eyes. I see. I know what you're doing. I know how you're doing it. I know why you're doing it. And I even know when you are doing it. I want to say to you, precious people, that God Almighty is not moved by our external activities. God Almighty is not moved by our eloquence. God Almighty is not moved by the garment of righteousness that we put on and we parade around. God is not so much moved by that. He's looking on the inside. You see, I can fool you by what I am on the outside, but I cannot fool God by what I am on the inside. You see, man looks at outward appearance, but God looks on the inside. He tries the reins of men and he searches the heart of all men. Look, he's not deceived by the glitter. Neither is he deceived by the gold. He tests all things and values all things for exactly what they are. Hey, the opinion of Jesus Christ about us is not necessarily the opinion of men. But I can tell you, the opinion of Jesus Christ is what will ultimately matter at last. And so he told them, he said, I'm writing you, church in Laodicea, because I really, 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 really know you. Can I say something to you? We live in a world that is so fake. If you look around this church this morning and you see ladies with long hair, it may not be their hair. When I just said that, some of you just smiled and you saw their teeth. It may not be their teeth. We live in a world that is so fake. Everything is not real again. You look at flowers. I don't know where I was this past week. And they had some beautiful, beautiful flowers there. And I thought for a moment that the flower was real. I reached out, I touched it, and I couldn't believe that it was plastic. We live in a day of fakes, and fakes have replaced real. And we parade ourselves in the kingdom of God as if it is okay to be who you are not. God is saying to them, he said, I know you. I know who you are. And I want to say to you in church this morning, God knows exactly who you are. You can fool me. You can fool these brethren all around you, but you cannot fool the living God. You know, we live around a society that everything is so fake. Have you ever seen somebody that you thought is very, very rich, only to discover he lives on credit? And many of us spiritually, we are living on credit. Madoff, the guy who got so many people in trouble all over the world, started an investment firm that was so thick. Yet, on paper, it looked as if he commanded billions upon billions upon billions of dollars. Only at last to be discovered that he's fake. I used to know of a pastor, a man of God, so-called, in Chicago. Somebody called me and said, you need to meet this man. He can really help your ministry financially. Something within me just didn't yield to it. And I said, all right, I will see him when I have time. And they went and saw him. They saw his big office. They saw everything. About 3 months after that, I got a phone call. And they said, you remember the man who told you that is a real rich businessman? I said, yes. They said, he came to us last Saturday wanting to hide in our church. And I said, why? They said he got in trouble with the government. All the money that he say he had is all fake. He had this big machinery that he went to about 10 different banks and borrowed money on. One machine. Millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And he'll go to churches, donate $25,000 here, donate $50,000 here, and he will get $3 million from this bank and use the money he gets from this bank to make the payment on this bank. Eventually, everything bottomed out. And he's in jail as I speak. I said all that to say this. Everything that glitters is not necessarily gold. question this morning is, are you for real? Are you for real? You know what? I'd rather have a church of five people who are on their way to heaven than have a church of 500 people who are just playing game with the living God. And you know what is so bad? And I don't want to say anything is bad about God, but God will put his hand on his chin and watch you destroy yourself. That's why he has sent me this morning to give you a wake-up call. You can hate me for telling you the truth, but I don't care. Somebody has got to tell you. And if you call me the pastor, and I cannot stand and tell you the truth, then you need another pastor. God knows you. He knows where you are. He knows where you've been. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you are into. He told the church of Laodicea, he said, I know your works. He said, the other churches may not know you, but I know you. Turn to someone and tell them, you better believe it, God knows you. God knows you, so stop fooling yourself. I know you won't say that because you also you are fooling yourself. So the first condition of the lukewarm is that the way they stand before man is not necessarily the way they stand before God. And we see a lot of that these days. See a lot of that these days. A young lady in this church, she drifted away from the church. I wouldn't say she drifted away from God, but she drifted away from the church for a lot, for several months. And then she came back and saw me downstairs in the counseling room. And she said, Bishop, I'm back. I said, why? She said, I've tasted other people's food, but I've also seen the kitchen where they cook the food. She said, I feel I need to come back. I said, what happened to you precisely? He said, a man of God came from London to preach for a church in the Bronx. He said, I went there with my problems, and he prayed for me. And after he finished praying for me, he looked at me and he said, you need more prayers. I'm staying at XYZ Hotel in the Bronx. Those of you who are inquisitive, go and check XYZ Hotel. You won't find it. He said, come see me there. I'll pray for you more. She said, I was eager. And I said, this is a blessing to be alone with a man of God, to have the time to pray for me. She said, Bishop, you will not know, you will not believe what she presented to, what he presented to me when I got there. And she said, I just froze there and I said, could this be true, or am I dreaming? What an anointing we had in the service last night. So this can happen from this same man. I had the pleasure of flying to Africa just by coincidence with a woman of God. We sat side by side and we were exchanging notes and we were talking. And he said, it's getting worse and worse out there. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I invited one reverend, and I said, don't tell me his name. It's not going to help me if I know. He said, my protocol officers were to pick him up at the airport. And this day, all the protocol officers were gone except one lady, so I sent her to pick him up. Picked him up, brought him to church, picked him up, took him to the hotel, and that was what she did for the 3 days revival. On the last day, she went to pick him up, and he was dressing shorts, and he knew she was coming. And she said to her, are you ready for church? And he said, not quite, I need to make a phone call, and I need to use this phone card, but I don't live here, so I don't know how to use a phone card. Could you please get clothes and show me on this phone how to use a phone card? And she said to herself, this man is not an illiterate. He can read. Dial the PIN number. After the PIN number, dial this and you are through. So she said, all right, if you want to play the game, I played along with you. So he sat down, and she went and sat down beside him. And I don't want to tell you the rest of the story and the things that he offered to do to her. And she was very smart. She said, let's wait till the revival is over, and then we will not have any guilty conscience. God knows your works. And after the revival was over, he called her. And she, having a three-way phone line, had somebody else on the line. And he talked. Things he will not repeat behind the pulpit. And he told her, don't let your pastor know about this. She might not invite me back if she knows. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, I know your works. The pastor may not know. And she told me something that shocked me. He said, now there are people that call themselves right reverend. And it simply means they can never do wrong. Anything they do is right, because they are reverends. I can go on and on and on. I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but I want you to know one thing this morning. God knows your works. Your parents might not know. Your wife might not know. Your husband might not know. But God knows your works. He said, I know your works. But he took it a step further. He said, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Do you see another condition of the lukewarm in that verse? The lukewarm is indifferent, and the lukewarm is careless. Lukewarm people are indifferent. Lukewarm people are careless. Number one, they are neither hot nor cold. That's so sad. There are two sides to them. They are not infidels, yet they are not serious believers. They are not opposed to the gospel, yet they will not defend the gospel. They are not walking mischief, neither will they do any great good. They are not bad in their moral character, but they are not distinguished for holiness either. Do you see what I'm talking about? There's always this side that is bad. There's always this side that is good. And God says, I'm tired about this bad side and this good side. I wish you are just bad, bad, bad. Or good, good, good. Ladies and gentlemen, in Fresh Anointing this morning, if God is worthy of being served, let's serve him. And if he's not worthy of being served, by all means, let's go to nightclub tonight. Because this idea of playing this and at the same time playing that is not going to stand on the last day. They are lukewarm. They don't protest the things of God, but neither do they promote them. He's not against God, but he's not totally enthusiastic about the things of God either. Lukewarm people are not irreligious people. Did you hear when we sang the song, stand up for Jesus? They've known that since they were little children. But do you think they will stand up for Jesus when it comes to time of compromise? No. They will do anything to get an extra dollar. They will do anything to get a promotion. They will do anything to get a wife. They will do anything to get a husband. Those are the people Jesus Christ said, I can't stand you. They will support prayer meetings, but they will never be present when the church organizes one. They will believe in Bible study, but you will never see them there. Mm-mm. To them, night vigil is essential. But while others are tarrying during night vigil, they are home, hugging their beds. There's always this nice side, and there's always this alarming, sad part of their lives. You know what you need to do? All you really have to do is look at their church attendance record. Look at their midweek service attendance record for 10 years. Look at the one for 10 years ago. And look at the one for today. And you can easily conclude whether they are still hot or whether they are cold. You can't call them cold because they pop in once in a while. But you can't call them hot because you cannot totally 100% depend on them. The lukewarm are pillars in the church. But if everyone has their record of attendance, the church will collapse. Those are the people Jesus is talking about here. And he's saying, you know what? I wish you were hot. And I wish you were cold. They teach. They preach. They lead prayer. And they are so eloquent with what they do. But you know what? The burning fire of grace that kindles the hearts of men is not in what they do. And you can sit down and listen to their teaching. Sit down and listen to their preaching. Sit down and listen to your ministration. Sit down and listen to their prayers. And you walk away and you say, where's the fire that used to be there before? Jesus said, I wish you were either cold or hot. They are not so cold as to abandon the work God has given them to do. But you cannot count on them. Indifferent and careless. You know, that takes me to the third condition of the lukewarm. The lukewarm dwells in a state of self-glorification. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, I know you have said I'm rich. Self-glorification. I am increased with goods. And I have need of nothing. Can I say something to you? Especially those of you who are immigrants. Your coming to America is a blessing to you physically. But your coming to America is a curse to you spiritually. You wouldn't dare attend church the way you attend church now, 20 years ago before you came to this country. You wouldn't. They knew you for fervency in church attendance. But you came here now, you've hugged the dollar. And they're waving the dollar at you, so you, well, what you have done, you've told church attendance, you can go. You've told fasting, you can go. You've told prayer, you can go. And some of you even dare open your mouth and say to brethren, I'm not as serious as I used to be. But I'm richer. Your money will perish with you. One of these days when you stand before the throne of the Almighty God, when silver and gold will not deliver you, God will look at you and he will say, woe unto you. You left me. You walked away from me. What is so bad is you never completely walked away. You are still giving an appearance that you are a child of God. You are still giving an appearance that you are still with me. But you know you are half-hearted. America is the country that swalloweth up the inhabitants thereof. If I had my choice, I must confess to you, if I had my way, I wouldn't stay in this country one more day. You know why? If you don't know where you're going, this country will take you another way. If you don't know what you're doing, this country will make you do something else. You know the two problems we have? The two problems are very simple. The pursuit of riches can make you become not hot, not cold. The pursuit of riches. You can make it in this country. And the pursuit of that will take you away from Bible study. The pursuit of that will take you away from all night prayer. The pursuit of that will take you away from fasting and praying. The pursuit of that will take you away from things you used to do when you didn't have these dollars waving at your face. The pursuit of riches. But not only will the pursuit of riches kill you spiritually, the pleasures of riches will also kill you. I'm telling you the truth. Y'all know what it means, and the pleasures that riches can afford. They looked around and they said, everything is going on well now. We are rich now. We are increased in goods now. We have need of nothing now. You know what? It's all right with me now. What is so sad is this. It was fervency for God that got you the riches. That's what you don't remember. You don't remember. You go and trace your history. Go and trace your history. Many of you spend hours and days on tops of mountains saying, God, transform my life. Do things about me. And that fervency, that hotness got you to where you are now. That you have cars upon cars, houses upon houses, blessings upon blessings. Now the thing that you got through fervency of the Spirit, hey, how dare you think you can maintain it with lukewarmness? Eh? Maybe I should repeat that for those of you who have lukewarmly gone to sleep. How dare you think that what God deposited in your life as a result of fervency of the Spirit, you can maintain by the lukewarmness. Of your life. Can I say something? God will clean you up. God will clean you out. Don't say amen. And he will reduce you to what you used to be before. If that is what it would take to get you back on your feet. And they will say, where's my son? Where's my daughter? Before I gave them the blessing, they were always in church. Before I promoted them, they were always championing the cause of this, championing the cause of that. Now they have got it. Appointments upon appointments upon appointments upon appointments. Don't let them have time for the things of God again. And they will say, if I'm not there, somebody else will do it. You didn't say that before. If I'm not there, it will go on. You didn't say that before. After all, if I die, somebody else will still do it. You didn't say that before. You know what God said to Jeshurun? He said to Jeshurun, he said, Jeshurun has waxed fat. And he has kicked. He kicked. He kicked. Who made him fat? God Almighty made him fat. Who promoted him? God Almighty promoted him. Who increased him? God Almighty increased him. But now that he has pleasure. You know, I used to have a pastor years and years and years ago. Those old papas. He used to tell us. He said, when the devil wants to destroy a young man, he gives him riches. He said, when the devil wants to destroy a young man, he gives him wealth. When the devil wants to destroy a young man, he gives him comfort. Because in your comfort, in your riches, in your wealth, you will discover what Jesus Christ said here. He said, I am rich. I am increased with goods and have need of nothing. You know what God told them in the book of Deuteronomy through Moses? Let me read it to you. He said, it shall be when the Lord shall have brought you into the land that he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things,
which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards, and...
my friend, you are not the one that dug the well, so... You are not the one, though. I'm just telling you. You are not the one that planted the olive yard, though. You are not, though. You are not, though. You are not the one. my friend, you are not the one that got the goodly cities. A man can receive nothing except to be given him from above. I thank God he gave you things from above. Don't let it make you cold. Don't let it make you cold. Don't let you make you go AWOL on the things of God. He said, a house is full of good things that thou fillest not, and wells digged that thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and thou shalt have eaten and be full. Verse 12, he said, beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the land of bondage. My friend, are you rich? Or is it the pursuit of riches that is now making you lukewarm? You want to have this? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Hear me. If Paul plants and Apollos waters, if God doesn't give the increase, you will not get the increase. You can wake up early. You can go to bed late. Are you listening to Bishop this afternoon? You can do all those things. If God doesn't give you the increase, you are wasting your time. I challenge you. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And say, I'm going to stay on top. I'm going to stay on fire. I'm going to be fervent. No matter what happens, you will see how God will double your time. How God will increase your time and the times you put in into the things that you need to do that could have taken you away from God. And then you'll be able to say, you know what? God is truly my provider. God is truly my increase. God is truly the one that can do all things. You know, Christianity now scares me. Did you hear what I said? Christianity scares me. Back in those days, when religion was religion, God, take us back to the old landmarks. You think this is Christianity? This is not Christianity. This is foolishness. I'm telling you. We have to call people. Will you be in church on Sunday? A member of this church will come and drop somebody at this door here and go shopping. And then call me during the week and say, I need to talk to you and waste my time for 2 hours. I don't have time for that foolishness. I say Christianity has changed. In those days, when we had examinations, Lord, take us back. Lord, take us. When we had examinations on Monday, we were in church on Sunday. I know some of you don't know that. Staying on top, staying fervent, staying serious was so important back then that nothing of the secular stopped you. We will go to church on Sunday. We'll go to village evangelism on Sunday. And we'll get back home at 7. And we have exam on Monday. And you know what happens? We'll take the exam and we'll come out on top. I've told you my stories here many times. And I don't want my sermon to be the focus of my story after my story. But I'm saying, what you are pursuing is in the pocket of God. It's in the pocket of God. You know how you get it? Get close to him. Where he leads him, follow. He calls for Bible study, be there. He calls for prayer, be there. He calls for fasting, be there. Look at tonight. We're saying, cross over night. Cross over 9 to 12. There are people here that I can guarantee will not come. Are they sick? No. Are they walking? No. Why are they not coming? See, we have been Christians since 1952. And we are living on credit. Your credit will run out. It's just that you don't know yourself. God knows you. You know. If you stay close to the fire, you'll keep warm. Get away from the fire, you will cool off. I'm rich and I'm increased with goods and have need of nothing. You know what is so sad? The people who ought to be mourning, they are the ones who are rejoicing. The people who should put up a signal and say, I'm in distress. I'm in spiritual distress. I'm in spiritual distress. I'm in spiritual distress. They're the ones who are flaunting the banners of triumph. Look at us. Look at my tax return for last year. What about spiritual tax returns? Huh? I wish you would know that you are in terrible deficit before God. And you know what is so sad? The spiritually poor are the ones that are the proudest. We are rich. We're increasing goods. And God says, you are poor, man. Why are you so proud of yourself? You don't have anything. You smell in my nostrils. You know what is so sad? When churches are filled with lukewarm people, they become a drag on the church. The sad part of this, and I thought of this, I almost cried last night. I wanted to listen to this. The sad part of this is the spiritual state of lukewarmness is what human nature loves. Oh, human nature loves it. You know why I said that? Cold makes you shiver. Makes you shiver. Heat causes you great pain and makes you sweat. So what do? Huh? A little cold, a little hot, you mix it together and you just stay under it and be singing. La 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 la. Until the people in the house come and knock the door. Get out of the bathroom, we need to take a shower. They go in themselves, they won't come out. Why? Because lukewarm water, oh, it feels so good. Hear me, folks. It may be okay in the bathtub, but it is dangerous. Your spiritual life. It is dangerous. The last condition of the lukewarm is the worst condition. You know what it is? Lukewarmness chases Jesus out. Many of you are still claiming to be on first name basis with Jesus, but he has long left. Do you know something? The things that you have learned before will remain there even when you are not using the knowledge. Remain there. So the fact that you can speak in tongues doesn't mean anything to me. Once you've spoken in tongues, I can break up in tongues now. And some of you will be shocked at how great the tongue is. That doesn't mean I'm on fire for God. I mean, if you can quote scriptures from Revelation to Genesis backwards, and you will not stumble into anything, that doesn't mean you're on fire for God. You know what I check myself every day? Jesus, are you still there? Jesus, are you still there? Money may be there. Popularity may be there. Crowd may be there. But is Jesus there? If Jesus is not there, you are of all men most miserable. Because lukewarmness chases Jesus out. You know what he said in one of those verses? He said, I stand at the door and I knock. Wait a minute. He stands at the door and knock? What does that tell you? Is he inside or outside? My honey, he's outside. I always tell people, they wonder how I know. I can sit down with you for 10 minutes and I can tell exactly where you are spiritually. Honestly. I can sit down with you. Just carry on a conversation with you for 10 minutes. Make it worse. Ride around with you for 1 hour. And I can tell. I can come visit you and sit down with you, and we carry on a conversation for 15 minutes, and I can tell exactly where you are. Not because you can read John 3:16. No. Not because you can read Genesis 1:1. But there are signals as to whether the person is hot or cold or in between. Jesus Christ said, I stand at the door and knock. And I say, where is Jesus? He's outside. May I ask you a question? Where is Jesus? Oh, I'm still carrying the Bible. Nonsense. I still come to church once in a while. Nonsense. Where is Jesus? Have you allowed the problems of life, the persecutions of life, and what people do against you, and so on and so forth, to make you put Jesus aside? What are you going to get after you get Jesus? You don't have anybody else. Seriously. You don't have anybody else. Now that is what is so bad about being cold. You can't go to Madame Chloe to find out how tomorrow will be. You can't go to the woman in the Bronx and find out how tomorrow will be. And yet, this same God Almighty, you don't have him like you used to. Then you are telling us stories. When we're going to Monday Bible study, when we're going to Tuesday Bible study, I ask you, what are you doing with Wednesday Bible study now? Then you sit down in a high chair and criticize everything we do in the church. And I say, but where are you? Seriously. It's okay. If we don't criticize ourselves, we will never have progress. But where are you? Where are you when we need you? Where are you when we're having prayers? Where are you when we're asking people to help us call people? Where are you? I don't have time. Somebody has got to tell you the truth. You are wrestling with a giant and you don't realize it. The people who ought to be mourning, they're the ones that are rejoicing. We are rich now. We're adding degrees upon degrees. We're adding businesses to businesses, houses to houses, clients to clients, marrying and giving in marriage, having children upon children, growing on all sides. Yet their spiritual needs are deeper than the deepest gorge that you have ever seen. They're in a sad state. It's called the lukewarm state. You know what has done? Jesus has been sent out. What's the condition of the lukewarm? They are standing before God and they are standing before man are two different things. They're indifferent and they're careless. The lukewarm dwells in a state of self-glorification. And the Lord has been chased away by their condition. Is there a curse upon the lukewarm? You better believe it. That's my point number two. I got only 10 more minutes. The first thing about the lukewarm is this. Hear me. Don't miss this. They are rejected by Christ. They are rejected by Christ. You know what is so sad? Many of the people we accept are actually rejected by Christ. And that's why, oh God, they call me bishop. I mean, pastor, or they call me general overseer. I just look at them and laugh. I say, titles don't mean anything. Relationship is what matters. Do I have the relationship that lines up with all these foolish titles that you give me? You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, I will spew you out. You know, when I read that, it sobered me up. Sobered me up. That means that the believer is dwelling inside the mouth of Jesus. Not just in his palm, not just in his hand, but in his mouth. But he said, you know, the first thing I'll do when I see you lukewarm, I can't stand you, I'll spill you out. Because you are baptized in my mouth.
Baptized in my mouth. Have you ever been around lukewarm people? And you say, is this the same sister? The way she talks now is different from the way she used to talk. The jokes she cracks now is different from the jokes she used to crack. You know, sometimes some of you, I will hear of comments you make about others. I will hear of comments you make about yourself. And I will say to myself, what? I will be around some of you and you will just make a careless statement. And I will say, what? Did I just hear that from your mouth? Yay! What happened to let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight? But to the lukewarm, anything is acceptable. Now you are using the slang of the world. You are using the language of the world. And it doesn't even trouble you.
Jesus Christ said, get out of my mouth. I don't need you in my mouth. And I said to myself, my God. Once you get out of the mouth of Jesus, you cease to be his witness. And you know what is so sad too? The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So when he wants to pray, I am in his mouth, and I go like this in his mouth, talk about me. Talk about me to the Father. And say, yeah, I'll intercede. I'm by the right hand side of the Father, ever interceding for you. And he remembers me in his mouth. But when he spills me out, I'm in big trouble. Because he won't pray for those that are not in his mouth. Can I tell you something? Preparing for this message itself sobered me up. Those who do the type of work I do are number one on the target list of the devil. And I cannot tell you some of the things I wrestle with on a daily basis. And then I will allow myself to be spewed out of the mouth of God. I don't have rabbit's foot in my pocket. I don't have talisman in my pocket. And I don't have God with me hiding in his mouth.
The first curse of the lukewarm is they are rejected by Christ. What a curse. The other curse is this.
Jesus leaves them alone. He said, you know what he said? He said, you don't know that you are wretched. What a word. You don't know that you are miserable. What a word. You don't know that you are poor. What a word. You don't know that you are blind.
What a word. And you know what he tops it up with?
He said you are naked. And once in a while we see that nakedness, you know. Those of us who have eyes to see. We see the nakedness. And we just say, God, clothe her. God. I want to ask you this morning, what are you going to do with Jesus? It's a curse to allow this giant of lukewarmness to come upon your life. You say, Bishop, is there any cure? Thank God there is a cure. There is a cure.
The first, he said, you know what he said?
He said, I stand at the door now. I'm already outside. I stand at the door. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus never leaves us alone? I've never seen love like this. Honestly, I've never seen love like this. And that's what makes me to put up with a lot of people. And I always say to some of you who are close to me in this church, I will always say to you that if Jesus can put up with us, we should be able to put up with anybody. How can he, after all he has said, come back again? He's not even invited. He's the one who is standing there and pleading and begging. And he says, I stand at the door. You know, we preachers, we have a lot of account to give on the last day for how we use scriptures that are inapplicable for what we preach.
You know, that scripture, what do we use it for? We use it for sinners. Oh, sinners, God is knocking at the door of your heart. Open the door and let him come in. As theologically correct as that is, that's not what that verse is. Right? That verse is talking to lukewarm people. And it's saying, I'm standing at the door. I want to come in. You know what I see about that? God wants us to be on fire all the time. Remember Paul writing in Romans chapter 12. He said, be fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Be fervent in the spirit means be hot and be boiling. But you know what I found out? You will have to look real well to find a good example in America. You know, that's why sometimes when I go to Africa, I extend my stay. I have to confess to you. I say, where am I going back to? I'm going to the cooler. To be honest, I have to be honest with you now. I say, I'm going back to the cooler. The moment I get to JFK airspace, my head will be aching like this. Bah, boo, bah, bah. Do you know, I was discussing with one of the saints in this church about 2 weeks ago. Seriously. Do you know that to even pray in America, when I travel to other places, I can pray all night without any assistance. I can pray all night without putting my feet into the bathtub. I can read my Bible so easily. But the moment you, especially Northeast, don't go to the West, though. It's even worse in the West. You get here and there are so many demons and distractions all around you. So you want to read the Bible? Want to read the Bible? You want to go to church? The one that does not eat on walk on Saturday does not eat on Sunday. And before you realize it, before you realize it, you just discover that you just stay home. I ask you, many of you who stay home during services, ask yourself, for what reason? There's no reason. Haven't you found out that before you got to this area, before you got to these places, you were on fire for God? But when you get to this Arctic weather, spiritually speaking, and you know what is so sad? There are no good examples around us. No good examples. Africa doesn't have money. Africa doesn't have wealth. But I can tell you something. Africa has God. That's the truth. Africa has God. You will see some people go to the top. One of my pastors in a little town called Akure. This pastor will go every blessed month for at least 7 days, sometimes 21 days. I said, why? He said, that's the way I was trained up. Many of you know what I'm talking about. Many of you know how you are trained. Many of you know how you are brought up. Many of you know that the demons that terrify you now dare not terrify you 20 years ago when you were married to the top of the mountain. But now, how shall we pay Con Edison? How shall we pay TNT? How shall we pay Burger King? By the time you add all that together, you know this, you are sleeping on the mat. But now your mattress is a button. Automatic. It's not automatic. And if you don't want your wife, her own setting is different from your own. Back in those days, it was rugged concrete. If you move like this, you're already awake. Lord, it's 3 a.m. But now comfort has come. Comfort has come. And you know what? There's nothing wrong in comfort. If we had not allowed it to spill into Christianity. The place I stay in Africa when I go, you sleep like this. The Muslims will not let you pray. 4 a.m. 4 a.m. Those who don't know the living God. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
You Christian, you don't want to get up. You will get up. And then before you realize it, the Christians are there. There's a man now that is just spreading like wildfire in Nigeria. So sometimes I just feel that those of us who are doing God's work here, we are wasting our life. Because people here have eaten. They are fat. Jeshurum. So when they want to go to church, look at church this morning. Where are they? They are at the park. Members of Fresh Anointing. See, that is what you want to sit down with and spend the rest of your life with. Eh? You don't stay where you are tolerated. You stay where you are celebrated. I'm preaching to myself. Oh, let that be a proverb to you. So here we are. Here we are. Ease and comfort. Look at chairs. Eh? Africa, you will go, they will be sitting on the carpet. And it is the same preacher. It's not that you prayed more. It's not that you fasted more. It's just that you are in a country where it's ease. And you want to go to church? You go to church. And when they come to church, whenever they come, maybe once a week. What about coming late too? Back in those days, we'll be running like this to get to church. Today, service starts at 10:30. At 1 o'clock, they're just coming. And they walk so slow, gradually. They won't even bring Bible. They won't bring Bible. And then they sit down. And then the usher say, sir, or ma, you need Bible? Oh, no. I know it all. No wonder I said, I'll spill you out. America. That swallows its inhabitants up. Swallow you up spiritually. You will forget who you used to be. You forget your consecration. You forget your dedication. You forget your love for God. You forget your love for man. But you'll have riches. You have a problem with money. You write $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. And God looks at you and said, it's not your money I want. It's you. So I stand at the door. And I knock. You know, back in those days, when we were in Africa, when you joined a church, you don't leave. Have you? You don't leave. You stay there. It's good, though. It's bad, though. You are committed to it. But in America, we treat church the way we treat house. The average American here lives in a house for 5 years. You have to look for another one. My daughter came to me from school last week, or 2 weeks ago, maybe three. Said, Dad, there's a house for sale on the way to our school. I said, am I a realtor? Did I tell you, I said, this one that I'm living in, I'm struggling to make the payment. Now you've seen another. That's America. That's America. Somebody who is a worker in the church. We're expecting him to do something on Sunday morning. Somebody calls him and says, will you come and visit our church? Oh, yes, I will. He just goes shopping out. Like an adulterer. Why don't you find a place and settle down, for God's sake? And let them count on you. You know who you used to be. You know where you used to be. You won't go to church and sit down and not doing anything for God. But somebody offended you in one church and you came to this church and we give you, offer you stuff to do. Say, no, I've been hurt before. I don't want to be hurt again. What about the deposit in you? Leave the hurt to Jesus. Keep busy for God. Keep on fire for God. Commit yourself and get busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can talk more, but I'll stop here. Rise up on your feet and let us pray. like for you to slip out of your seat. Just come towards the altar. Get as close as you can to this altar. Let's just talk to God. Just don't stay where you're staying. Don't stand where you're standing. Except if you are sick and you don't have a choice. I just want you to get as close as possible. I told you I had to preach this sermon to myself. I stood in front of the mirror in my office yesterday and I looked at myself in the mirror and I preached this sermon to myself. And I said, son, you need this sermon. You are not what you used to be. And I can stand here and confess to you. I know who I used to be. God saved 1974. And I look at my consecration back then, looked at my dedication back then. I think America is more of a curse than a blessing. Spiritually. In other ways, oh yeah, it's great. But at the end, it's heaven that matters. With all heads bowed, I want you to talk to God where you are. And I want you to say, God, revive me. You do hear me? Even if you think you are revived, tell God, revive me more in the name of Jesus. Help me to take things about God more seriously. I know myself. You know when you used to wake up in the middle of the night to pray. You know when you used to do this, when you used to. But over time, now that children have come, there's no more time for God. Hey, he gave you the children so you won't have time for him. Now that this one has come, that one has come. Jeshurum has got fat. Or you are pursuing after fatness? You don't even have the fatness yet. Be pursuing and leave God aside. I just want us to pray, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. Hey, God, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. And now revive us. Lord, revive us again. Revive us again. Revive us again. Oh, God. Revive us again. Don't just stand at the door and go, Lord, come in. Come and sup with me. Come and sup with me and me with you. Let's start it all over again. Let's start it afresh in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, forget about the past. Lord, I want to start anew with you. Take away the coldness. Lord, push me, push me, push me. Push me to the hot column in the mighty name of Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. And he will give you the grace that you need this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, to be who you need to be, to do what you need to do, and to have what you need to have. I want you to tell God, touch me anew, touch me anew, touch me anew. Lord, touch me afresh, touch me afresh. Take away all coolness, take away all lukewarmness from my life, and just hit me up, hallelujah. Hit me up for you, oh God. Turn me to be on fire for you, oh God. Give me back what I used to have, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God. Touch me, Lord. Touch me afresh. Touch me anew, Jesus. Talk to the Lord this afternoon. Hallelujah. Yay.
Oh God. Lord, is to be.
Hallelujah. Just feel I need to say something this morning, and that is this. Listen, in life, people will hurt you. In life, people will offend you. I want to plead with you, no matter how that offense affects you, let it never affect your fervency in God. If they don't want to be hurt for God and they did that to you, that's their business. But you keep shining. You keep burning. You keep going forward. Please, 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 don't allow the foolishness that other people do to stop you from going forward. It may separate you forever. I understand that. You may not be together again. But don't let it separate you from Jesus Christ. Keep on burning for Him. Everybody say, Father, say in the name of Jesus, I come before you for a fresh touch. Touch me right now. Infuse into my life the energy of God, the fire of God, the strength of God, and the hotness of the Spirit. Say in the name of Jesus, say, I reject every agreement with coldness. I reject every agreement with lukewarmness. In the name of Jesus, grace. Say it again, say grace. One more time, say grace to be on a fire for you. Let it fall upon me now. I receive it by faith, and I believe I'll never be the same. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. And everybody said, come in, Lord Jesus. Come in, come in, come in, Lord. Come in, Lord. Come in to sup with us, and we with you. And from this day, O God, we will never be the same. The riches will still be there. The wealth will still be there. The needs will still be met. But Jesus will no longer be second class. Father, help us to seek you first and your kingdom. And all these things shall be added unto us. Lord, I thank you for the rebuke. I thank you because it is he whom the Father loveth that he rebuketh. We thank you for the chastening. We receive it in humility, and we ask you to have your way in every one of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said,